It is so lovely to have you here. It means that you have grabbed a snippet of time for you, and that is brilliant. Here at the Ultimate Mums Club podcast, I hope to provide you with a supportive and informative listen. We will be hearing from many different mums, listening to their stories, as well as speaking to experts offering their guidance in those more challenging times. I will also be sharing my journey as a mum and how I juggle being mum alongside running my own business and finding some kind of time to myself. Let's get cracking. The Ultimate Mums Club podcast has been brought to you by my very own business, Any Little Thing Limited. We are a home help service for the elderly and vulnerable. If you're looking at starting up your own business and you're not really sure where to start, but you enjoy giving back to the community, you love to help others, and you want to have that flexibility that works around you and your family, then please do get in touch. We have franchise opportunities available across the UK, and we'd be absolutely pleased to tell you more about that. Alternatively, you may just want to join our team. We currently operate in Billericay, Wickford, Basildon and Brentwood in Essex, and we're always looking to expand on our team. So please do contact us by emailing info@anylittlething.co.uk. So hello, Sue. How are you? It's so lovely to have you here. I'm so pleased that you've been able to find time in your busy schedule to talk to us today. For those of the listeners that haven't met you before or don't know of you, first of all, where have they been? Everyone needs Sue in their life. You've been my saviour over the last 4 or 5 years. Please do tell us more about yourself and, we shall begin.
Oh, hi. Hi, Lucy. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me join your podcast. I did listen to your podcast that went out today, and it was all about poo, so it fitted in really well with me. So I've got a company and it's called Little Life Steps, and I've had this company for 5 years now. And before I started this company, I worked for the NHS for 14 years. I worked with a health visiting team for 5 and a school health team for 9. And before that, I was an NNEB trained, so nursery nurse trained. I worked in nurseries. I also trained as a manager because I was a manager of a nursery. And then all of those areas, child development, are all come together to make me. And so when I left the NHS 5 years ago, after huge cutbacks, we used to run workshops. I used to do baby massage. I left because they cut all of those workshops, and we got taken over by Virgin Care. And I didn't like the way things were going. They were taking untrained people on to do our role, and then they were getting us to do more of the health visitors' jobs, and the health visitors were doing more of the consultant jobs. And I just felt it was unsafe. So I decided to leave, didn't realise what I was going to do when I left. But lots of people said to me, why don't you start your own company doing what you've done for 38 years? Because for 38 years, I've worked with children and I've helped families.
Well done, that person.
So I did. I started my business 5 years ago and I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue how to start a business. I knew how to help families because it's what I'd done in the NHS. But I had a big learning curve on how to run a business. And I'm still learning every day now. And I'm also still learning from parents. I say my families and my parents, I learn from every day. And I absolutely love it.
So when we first met, Sue, you hadn't been going for long then, had you? Because we met, a bit of a backstory, we met at my friend Tara's house for a potty training workshop. So you really hadn't been, because Seb's only, he's only 5, he'd be 6 in November. Blimey, didn't realise.
I think it was a couple of months into my business. I started off by doing home workshops, and I sort of developed them like a Tupperware party. And instead of having a Tupperware, it was a potty training party.
All about poo.
Yeah, so I'd get one parent to invite all her friends, and she would be the host. The host would get it free. She'd get a goodie bag, and I'd just turn up with all my potties and all my resources, and I'd talk for 2 hours, which I did, all about Wee and Poo. And they were actually fun, because hosts used to get the drink and snacks, and I'd just talk about Wee and Poo for 2 hours. But
Brilliant.
since COVID, they're not happening, and my business has definitely developed since then.
You're one of these business owners that has definitely thrived, I think, as a result of I still think you would have been just as much of a success because there's a much need for that guidance, but your business has definitely thrived as a result of pandemic and lockdowns, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. Before lockdown, I was very nervous about technology and Zoom. And my eldest daughter, who's 33, said to me, "Oh, you should do Zoom, Mum." And I was like, "Oh, no, I don't think I could do
No. A girl after
all
my own heart.
that." But then obviously we went into lockdown and it's like, ah, now what should I do? And because I hadn't been doing my business long enough, I didn't get any money from the government. My husband's got his own business as well, so he's a director of his own business, so he didn't get any money from the government either. And we were like, ooh. So I still had to work. And yeah, I went on Zoom, and it's the best thing I ever did. It's the most easiest thing to use. And yeah, I've got people all over the world.
Brilliant. See, this is the thing about business when you look at it from many different angles. We're going off on a bit of a tangent here. We will return, but if you're online, you literally can help anybody anywhere. And let's face it, we all have that issue when it comes to potty training, or behavioral issues because you do behavioral workshops as well. So I think it's been absolutely amazing. What's been the hardest part of your journey so far, would you say?
The hardest part is the unsociable hours, because parents want me to do consultations of an evening, whereas when I worked in the NHS, I'd work 9 till 5 and then I'd come home. And my husband works, 9 till 5, and he comes home. And so I'm then saying, let's have some dinner, and then I'm going to do a consultation. And I often finish until late, because sometimes some children don't go to sleep till 8:30, so I start the consultation at 8:30. We might not finish until 10:30, and then I can't switch off because my brain is taking in all this information. So then I have to wait an hour so I can sort of chill and switch off before I can go to bed. So that's been really hard because it has sort of changed my whole way of living as such. And I get up early because my husband gets up to go to work, so I'm woken up and I get up. So I think that's why I've changed a little bit so that my business fits in with me as well. And so that's why I've put some more courses online. So I'm not in so many courses of an evening. I've just been doing one-to-ones of an evening rather than courses.
And
Yeah.
would you say, because you mentioned your daughters are 30 and 33, did you say? So would you say, I'm just curious to know what your point of view on this is. We're obviously surrounded by a lot of information by, media, social media, computers, iPads, phones. It's like right there in front of you. Would you say, in comparison to when your girls were growing up, say of Seb's age and younger, when they were potty training, in comparison to now, would you say it's easier or harder for people to know what direction to head when it comes to potty training itself or behavioral? Because I do feel myself occasionally reaching for Google and then this little voice in my head goes, no, don't do that. Ask Sue. Don't do that.
So there's a mixture there, I'm going to say. So potty training back when mine were little, I feel was easier because we didn't have as many distractions for children. Nowadays, children have got hundreds of toys. They've got the television, which is 20 24/7 their programs. You can get their programs at any time. When mine were little, they'd have to wait for those programs to come on. They couldn't watch them constantly. And so they didn't have all those distractions. Yeah. So when I introduced the potty, they were more interested in it because it was fun. It was something that they had to do. But nowadays, children want to learn, explore and play. They don't necessarily want to go off to the toilet to sit and do wheeze and poos. It's not part of the agenda. And so we've got to get children nowadays to buy into this more than I feel that I did when mine were little. But the other side is as well, back then when it comes to behaviour, I sought support for my eldest child. We got referred to Family and Consultation Service because of her behaviour. And all they did was make me feel like a failure. They made me feel like I was a bad parent. They didn't work with her temperament. I think back then they haven't got all the knowledge that they've got now about brain development. They were very much based on trying to control your child and having those consequences. And it didn't work. What they were doing with Louise didn't work at all because her brain works differently. She's got a mathematical brain. I mean, she went on to get a maths degree. And nobody then helped me work with her unique temperament. And that's why I do what I do now, because I know what it felt like when I was school and parents I wasn't listened to.
Can I just say that I think you do that perfectly, because every time I've asked you for advice or I've recommended you to friends, family, even, I've never heard a different story in the respect that you're made to feel like you're getting a really personal, unique assistance with the situation, whatever it may be that you're dealing with. And I think you're absolutely amazing at that, because every mum, every parent even, I think that's not just keep it to mums. As a parent, you sort of, you do doubt yourself all the time and you do do worry a lot, and I don't think that ever ends, but you just need that one person sometimes to say and talk to you with sense and say, right, okay, let's look at your situation. How are you doing this at the moment? How are you doing that? Let's create a plan for you moving forward. A bit similar to what I do, really, you know, completely different field, but you're working with that person individually to make sure that they're getting the best support that they could possibly get. And I think you do that amazingly well.
Thank you. Yeah, I really want children to grow into their best selves.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about. And, you know, doing some of the things that are in all the books might not be best for your child. So it's about looking at your child's strengths, working with those strengths, but also looking at those challenges and thinking, how can we work through them? You know, what skills are they lacking in? I'm often saying to parents, what skills is your child lacking in? Let's work on those skills.
Yeah. And it can be really difficult for anyone that's listening, that's thinking, well, that's, you know, sounds really easy. It's not, is it? It's not. No. I mean, the exercises that you've given me sometimes, I've thought, oh my gosh, that's never going to work. But with perseverance and the right guidance, these things do work. And if it doesn't, then you help them through that next stage, maybe. I'll give you an example with Seb. Just one simple change. We're asking, come on, it's time for a poo, you know, because you've told me before that, and for anyone that doesn't know out there, sometimes you can get behavioural issues around pooing because it hurts. Because their diet, which is tricky from all angles, because your child might not be eating the right foods because they don't want to, they won't eat it, what have you. You have to really take it back to, like, how can we get them to eat the right foods? But with all that aside, you just literally gave me a sentence, which I'm sure will make everyone giggle. Lucy, just tell him to slide a poo out. You know, don't tend to push, because you can mentally think, oh, well, pushing, that's going to hurt. And it worked wonders. And we even do it now. I can hear Simon saying it in my head. How was it? Let slide a poo out. It worked wonders. It worked absolutely wonders.
That just sometimes changing those words can make
Yeah.
a difference.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of parents say when a child's getting anxious about going to the toilet, they always say, it's okay. Well, I tell parents to stop saying those words because in a
Yep.
child's brain, it's not okay. So
Yep.
if you're saying it's okay, your child feels like you don't understand them. And
Yeah.
that's what they want to be. They want to be
Right, okay.
understood in that moment.
Yeah. So
I
really what we're summarizing here is that you have to be a psychologist to bring up a child.
You have to be a lot of things.
Oh my gosh, so many heads, so many heads.
But
So
also, I say to parents that you've got the power inside of you. The greatest power is
yeah.
within you to
You can do
work
this.
your child. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's your child.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I struggled with when I had children. I put so much pressure on myself. And that's because I was a nursery nurse.
Yeah.
In childcare, I had a room full of 20 children, and I could just ask them to do something, and they would just do it.
Yeah,
And
yes.
when I had one baby, I thought, oh, this will be easy peasy, but it wasn't. I didn't know what hit me. I didn't have a good journey with breastfeeding.
No.
I felt like I was fighting with this baby every time I offered a breast. I had cracked balls. It was the worst 3 months of my life. But everyone had said, oh, breastfeed. But no, it wasn't for me. She didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it. She didn't
Yeah,
sleep.
that was very similar.
So my husband and I were walking around as if we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
No.
And people felt that because I was a nursery nurse, even the midwives came and was like, oh, no, you're a nursery nurse. You've worked with babies. And they didn't necessarily give me all the information because they should know it all. It's
Yeah.
different when you
So in a
have your.
way, it kind of made it harder for you because there's that expectation. As much as we try not to have expectations, I'm terrible for this. We do. We naturally resonate down that road, and that can make it harder. I've never thought of it like that before. Yeah. So no matter what your experience, parenting can be and is a tough journey, isn't it? It's a learning curve, massive learning
It's
curve.
because there's emotions involved. When you're looking
Yeah.
after other people's children, you haven't got those emotions. But
Yeah.
when it's your own child and you've got the lack of sleep,
Yeah.
obviously when you're not sleeping, you've got less patience. But when you're looking after children in a nursery, you've had sometimes, 9 hours
Yeah.
sleep at night.
Yep.
So you can have the patience
Yes,
and
I'm ready for my day. Let's try
that.
and get these nippers into shape. So with everything in mind that we've spoken about today, I know I asked you in advance to give some tips to our mummies. I'd
Yes.
love for you to share them because it doesn't matter if we haven't touched on these things today as such, they're all relevant to making the parenting journey a little bit more pleasurable, should we say, I suppose, because I've learnt with Sebby. I won't give away too much because obviously you're going to tell us what your tips are, but some of these things definitely have been incorporated into my journey with Sebi or our journey with Sebi. And I have noticed that when we do these things, he's a lot easier to how shall I say, liaise with.
Communicating.
Yes. I call it liaise, you call it communicate. See, already we've got difference there. So yes, please tell us what your top tips are.
Okay, so number one, I chose play. So it's a little tip for play, and that's because every consultation I do, every workshop includes play, and that's because of my NNEB background and observational skills. So my tip is to just sit quietly near your child while they are playing and copy them, whatever they are doing. You don't have to speak, just copy them. So if they're playing with a car and they're pushing it up the garage, just get a car, push it up the garage. If they're putting some petrol in the car, get a car and fill it up with petrol. And what this does is it helps your child feel seen. and it helps your child feel important. Now, on one of my courses, I talk about what our children want. And it's not toys. It's three things that they want, which is going to help them be more cooperative with us and communicate. And number one is they want to be seen. They want to be seen and they want to feel important. So this one little trick is really powerful. Now, parents often say to me, I play with my child all day. Yeah, I don't want you to play with your child all day because you end up sometimes resenting them a little bit because you're playing too much. And as an adult, we can get quite bored with children's play.
And I'm that person.
So it's far better that you just do little snippets like this where you just sit next to them and you just copy what they are doing so that they feel seen and noticed. So that's number one. So you don't have to play for hours. I often say one thing I do say on my consultations as well is model doing something that you that interests you. So reading. I mean, you love horses. I know you do. You've got your horse. It might be that you model to Seb while he's sitting there playing that you sit and read your horse book. Nearby, and you're modeling to him that your interests are important. And you taking that time is important. And that's a great model for your children as they're growing.
Brilliant.
So do it. Even if he carries on talking to you and you're not actually reading it, you're still modelling it. So tip number two is connection. So it follows on from play. So there's a saying you've probably heard if you've done my courses, Dan Siegel, who wrote The Whole Brain Child, he's wrote the Yes Brain Child. He talks about connection before correction. So I often talk about adult brain. Our adult brain always tries to jump in and correct children. It tries to jump in and fix things, to stop the tantrums. But what we need to do is connect with them first. And that can de-escalate a lot of meltdowns if we can do that. And my connection comes from my baby massage trained. I'm IAIM trained with the International Association of Infant Massage. So you've got serotonin, you've got dopamine, you've got oxytocin. These are all hormones for human connection.
Yeah.
Find little times in your day where you can connect with them. So I talk about emotional surprises. So this is where you might walk past Seb and you might just touch his shoulder and he'll look up at you. You've got that eye contact. You're connecting with him.
Everyone loves that.
Just that little touch. Do it with your husband, you know, and he comes in rather than, you know, we're often really busy. We might just say, oh, hello, but actually go up to him, touch his shoulders and say, I'm so pleased to see you.
Gaze into his eyes.
they just feel really good. Yeah, if it's said to us, we feel really good inside. I did with that, those hormones, and we have that connection with them. You know, no, going back to the play, again, with the connection, we notice what the children are doing. So we go, oh, I notice that you picked up the red dinosaur. And then they're like, oh, mummy noticed me. So we do all of those connecting with them. And I think we're going to need that more because of the ratios changing. Yeah, you heard about the nursery ratios that are going to be changing. That really worries me working in nurseries because children are not going to get that adult human connection that they need.
Yeah, definitely. Because that was really pivotal in Seb's upbringing. You know, I cannot take all the credit for how amazing he is, really. I know I moan about him from time to time, but he's a lovely little boy. And he had one-to-one attention with the childminder. So, yeah, totally agree on that one.
Well, and there's times in nurseries as well when one, like myself, if I went to do a nappy change, which is a connection with a child, those other seven children are left with that one member of staff on a ratio of four. It's now going to be nine children left with one member of staff when they go to do a nappy change.
Yeah, that's not great. It's going to be mass carnage, isn't it?
I don't know how it's going to work. I'm glad I'm not in nurseries
No,
at the moment.
let's not terrify anyone else. We'll see what happens when it happens.
Hopefully, nurseries won't, I don't think they have to do it, so hopefully
No.
it might stay at the 1 to 4.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I have written a blog actually about building strong bonds with children, and there are two important times that I talk about: bedtime, creating that connection, and meal times, creating
Yep.
that connection. So definitely have a look at my blogs.
Okay.
And my last tip is focus on the now, not the future.
Yeah, big
And I
one.
have a little story there for my little one. So she's 30 now, but when she started school, I stressed about how she would cope with starting school because she still had a daytime nap. Every day, she was 4, she used to have an hour and a half sleep every afternoon. Now, some parents might be jealous of that now, if your child's giving up their daytime nap, it's something we look forward to.
That was an
But
awful day for me.
yeah, for a lot of parents, they say, oh, I can't cope without this afternoon.
Okay.
But she still had a daytime nap. She still slept all night. She still loves her sleep now. And so before she went to school, I stressed and thought, oh, she's going to have to give up this daytime nap. She's not going to be able to cope with school. So I spent a few weeks trying to cut out that daytime nap. She was awful. She couldn't cope. She
No.
had meltdowns. I tried cutting it down and was waking her up mid-cycle. She was in a foul mood. And in the end, I gave up. I gave up and just thought, I'm going to let her continue having that nap. And what happened is she started school, and for the first half of term, she fell asleep every afternoon in the book corner. And the other children used to cover her up with a blanket.
Oh,
The
bless her.
teacher came out. She got quite famous for it, that the other children enjoyed playing with her by covering her up with the dolly blankets. And the teacher used to tell me every day she's had another sleep. And I used to say, well, she just needs it. Did it for the first term, and then that was it. And I really wish I hadn't spent those last few weeks with her trying to cut out that sleep.
Yeah.
Should have stayed in the now and waited until she started school. That's what I often say to my parents when they're often worrying. They're often saying to me, what if they start school and they're still pooing themselves? And I'm like, they're stay in the now and work on small steps. And
Yeah.
we'll do that when we get to that
Yeah.
present moment, rather than always worrying about the future.
That's absolutely amazing advice. Thank you so much.
No worries.
And for anybody that is struggling to see through the trees, shall we say, or having a bit of a, a bit of a wobbler, we all have those. That's absolutely fine. Then we must have Sue on speed dial. How can people find you, Sue? Because I dare say that after this podcast, you will have a few customers coming your way, or clients, I should say, coming your way. Mummies, I'm one of those. How can they find you, Sue?
So you can find me at littlelifesteps.com. I have a website, and do have lots of blogs there for you to read. I also have lots of freebies, so I have a freebie page, so you can download lots of freebies that can help you out for common scenarios and issues that I've helped with. I've made freebies for. You can find me on Instagram at Little Life Steps. I do hang out on Instagram more than I do Facebook. I'm not a fan of Facebook. I do have a Facebook page, though, at Little Life Steps as well.
Brilliant.
I do 15-minute free calls if you'd like to come and have a chat with me. And sometimes I help parents on those 15-minute calls. They don't necessarily book anything with me. I just give them a little snippet like I've given today in here, and they can then go on their way. Okay.
Super
I often
duper.
have parents say I reset their button, and I think
Yeah.
sometimes we just need that as a
Yeah,
parent.
definitely. You've done that with me a few times, and I'm forever grateful to have met you. So thank you, Tara, as well, for introducing us. And thank you for finding time in your busy schedule to help us all. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
So that's it for this episode of the Ultimate Mums Club podcast. It would mean the world to me if you would subscribe and rate the show on iTunes or here on Podbean. I hope that it has helped contribute towards you recharging your batteries and doing something for you. Are you a part of our Facebook community? All of the details on how you can join will be in the show notes below. We would love to see you there. It's an amazing group of mummies where the experts featured on this show will share even more of their knowledge. So come join us. Bye for now and see you next time at the Ultimate Mums Club podcast.